Welcome to another exciting episode of the Click Nation's Comic Book Chronicles. I am your host, Tim D-O-double-G. And I'm joined by the man behind the sound effects, at Agent underscore 70 on Twitter.
What's up? Sorry we're running behind, folks.
Our loyal fans will wait for us to start broadcasting.
That's right.
And I want to point out we broadcast live every Thursday night around 9 or 9:30-ish Eastern Time, PM.
That's right. Make sure to stay tuned to our website at theclicknation.com and stay tuned for updates on the, is it the Google Plus page where you post the link?
Yeah.
There you go.
If you follow me on Google Plus, you'll get those updates. And make sure to follow the Twitter account at TheClickNation. And, of course, my personal Twitter account at TimDOGG98. As Agent 70 said, go to TheClickNation.com to find previous episodes of the Comic Book Chronicles, comic book reviews, and much more. Like the Facebook fan page, Facebook.com/TheClickNation. Add us to your circles on Google Plus. Search for The Click Nation and join the community. Just search for The Click Nation community. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/TheClickNation. Subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher Radio to The Click Nation. If you ever have any feedback you want to have read on a future show, send that on over to theclicknation@gmail.com. And want to send a shout out to the comicrelated.com website. They have a comic book podcasting network that we're a part of. So you can go to their website and listen to our show and also plenty of other comic book related podcasts. And something else I want to start hopefully remembering to do on the show is direct everyone to go and give us reviews, 5-star reviews on iTunes and on Stitcher. Move us up those page rankings.
There you go. And don't forget, if you want to tweet at us, hashtag Comic Book Chronicles.
Yeah, so that's I always forget to point out, too. So how we usually do this is after all the social networking plugs, we get into news, and then we'll get into the comic book reviews. As I move my laptop a little closer to me. Okay, first up we have Empire Magazine released 25 different covers for the X-Men Days of Future Past movie.
I was not thrilled with some of these images.
Nope.
There were some troubling, you know, for X-Men fans. I know, you know, both of us are, and I know lots of our loyal listeners and watchers and viewers are. X-Men fans will not be happy with a lot of these images.
Yeah.
It's kind of disappointing. I mean, listen, the whole movie series from Fox has been disappointing, but, you know, it's just another thing, you know, another thing to be frustrated by, right?
Yeah, and how it started was, who's the director? Brian Singer.
Singer,
he was always putting out their little tweets and things, giving away details or pictures from the, you know, from the production of the movie.
Right.
Now I kept complaining, stop. You know, every week you don't have to give out a new piece of news or a new image or 15-second Vine video.
Right.
So then he finally stopped doing that, but now he's back doing it again. I see. That's all this past week and last week. It seems like it's just been more and more news. These magazine covers with Storm and Rogue, who we thought isn't in the movie, but now she might be. And
just because they put her out on a magazine cover, yeesh.
Yeah, that's why everyone's complaining of, like, oh, she's on the cover. That means she's in the movie. Probably not, but I saw some articles like maybe Singer is going back on his word, so who knows?
But that she's going to be recut into the film.
Yeah.
Wow.
Who knows?
Wow. You know, before we move in, I was about to say we kind of skipped over plugging Pop Culture Network and Dirt because our guest host is noticeably and sadly absent tonight.
For some strange reason, he has a reason he has other duties besides being on the show. So he's busy editing video for his website, popculturenetwork.com. Make sure to go there. He has lots of comic book news and toy news and movies, and I think he does movie reviews, video movie reviews.
Right.
So show his website some love.
There you go.
But and also today I have on our little our episode guide here, but I saw that somebody at Fox wants Channing Tatum to play Gambit in a Gambit movie.
Really?
Yeah, that's. I haven't really read any of the links for it, but that's all I see. I kept seeing.
Whatever headache I had that dissipated has just returned.
Yes.
That's all I got to say. I mean, you know, listen, the guy has a following. I still can't forgive him for butchering Duke. So
they're even talking about reviving him for G.I. Joe 3.
What? Oh, gosh. Goodness gracious. What can you do? What can you do?
Yeah.
So I was about to say, where did they announce this?
Which one?
It was on Bleeding Cool? About Channing Tatum?
Yeah, there's a link on there on their movie side of the site. And I mean, just every other regular site, comic book site, has been picking up the news too. Superhero Hype, I think, has an article about it.
Wow. That's kind of frightening. I'm frightened by that. All right.
Would you rather have a Deadpool or a Gambit movie?
A solo movie?
Yes.
I want to say Deadpool because it'll be funnier, but I think the Gambit movie might be easier to pull off because his powers are, I think, readily adaptable to the special effects without going too crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a martial artist type, and they can definitely pull some of that stuff off, and all they have to do is, oh, Lord, I just remembered, they're going to have to teach Channing Tatum how to speak with a Creole accent. Yeah, that's not going to work.
I mean, they can get rid of that. I mean, he'll have it at the beginning of the movie, and then as the movie progresses, he'll
just lose it.
Yeah, he'll just lose it. It'll just go away.
Oh, okay. please, tweet, please, viewers and listeners, weigh in on this on Twitter at TimDog98 or at Agent_70 and hashtag it Comic Book Chronicles. We want to hear what you think about Channing Tatum possibly being cast as a Gambit in a solo movie. That's that's bound to stir up some debate.
And yeah. The next bit of news we have, actually two bits of Marvel movie news. Captain America: The Winter Soldier, the directors from that are negotiating to direct the Captain America 3. For the trilogy, and Thor, whenever Thor 3 goes into production, there's already directors for that. Marvel has pegged Craig Howe and Chris Yost to direct, who have worked on the previous two, I believe.
Right, in some capacities.
Yeah.
And comic book readers will remember them as having a relatively long run on the initially relaunched Uncanny X-Force.
I think it was just X-Force.
Was it X-Force? Okay. Yeah. Well, and then after that became Uncanny X-Force. Okay.
And then it's going to become X-Force again.
Yes, we can talk about that. I actually read this week's X-Force issue.
Yeah, I did too.
Well, we have our reasons for getting a lot of reading in this week. Yours involve some really foul weather visiting the southeastern part of the United States.
Oh, yes. I guess we can talk about that right now. So, snowpocalypse hit the south region. And we got snow here in Athens, Georgia. I'm about a little over an hour east of Atlanta, so I did not have to experience the 24-hour nightmare that they did of people being stuck in their cars for like 13 plus hours and having to pull over to the road and losing gas and people having to just ditch their cars on the interstate and find convenience stores and CVS stores to sleep in overnight.
On the floor.
On the floor. People just on the floor in the aisles sleeping.
Did you read about your Braves first baseman being rescued by Chipper Jones from his car?
Yes, I did. Shared it on Facebook. I'd like to point out this is the same Chipper Jones who, like a week or two ago, set some woods on fire because he took some ashes from his fireplace out because he was trying to be good and clean the fireplace, but the ashes were still hot. And I guess he threw them in the woods near his house because he probably lives on a ranch somewhere. Right. And caused this huge forest fire.
Goodness gracious. So in the aftermath, he's able to jump on his four-wheeler, the ATV, and rescue Freddie Freeman from being stuck in traffic.
Yep.
You gotta love it.
Surprising that Tara ACL in the process.
Oh.
That's my third baseman, though.
That's fun.
Hall of Famer. Future Hall of Famer.
Yes, that's unfortunate.
Maybe a first ballot.
Probably. So
yeah, for third baseman, it'd be close.
Yeah, I feel terrible about poking fun at the people in the Southeast who just can't handle driving on slick roads. But there's no salt there's out. You know, there's no road salt out there. They just throw out sand, I've read, and it's kind of, it's pretty dangerous that way.
Yeah, I don't know what I'd do. I'd be freaking out, and especially if I like couldn't get home.
Right.
I'd be calling, trying to find the nearest friend or associate I know in the Atlanta area or suburb, trying to find a couch or something to sleep on.
Absolutely.
And then like it was funny. I worked from home yesterday because the problem, as some people have pointed out, it's not the snow that was the problem. It was the ice.
Yes.
So. It's not that, Southerners can't stand the snow. It's the ice left over. But so I worked from home yesterday because I was able to log on. So I watched the local ABC News basically all day because they just cut all programming and just covered the storm. And like midway through the afternoon, this lady for transportation got on and she was saying that they were going to start towing cars that were left on the that they were abandoned on the road, if they were still like in the major lanes, just so they could clear the road so people actually could
pass
and try to treat the ice.
Right.
And they were saying that they were going to tow the the different towing companies would tow the cars, and the people have to find they would have a list of the towing companies they used, and people would have to call the towing companies to get their cars back. And then like the reporter, because they had lady in the studio, and they were like, the reporter was like, are the people going to be charged for this, and or how's this payment going to be worked out, and blah blah blah. And I can't remember if she had an answer. She didn't have an answer for that right then, but the interview, the interview ended, like maybe 15 minutes went by, maybe 30 minutes went by, then they came back on and said that the transportation people had another announcement, and they weren't going to tow cars. They were just going to tow them to the side of the road if possible, at least tow them to the shoulder, which made a lot more sense instead of having people to give people a chance to go back to where they left their car the next day, which would have been today, and get their car.
Sure.
So they're towing them to random towing companies and having to call them and negotiate. Can I get my car back? No, you have to pay this much. Blah, blah, blah.
Gotta love it. You gotta love it.
But I think today they did say if your car was left today, it was still there today. So,
yeah, you're getting towed and you probably have to pay for the fees.
Yeah.
So anyway, glad to hear that Tim DOGG made it out okay. And, friends and family seem to be okay, right?
Yep. As far as I know, a lot of people on Facebook, I saw some people tweeting about it. a little bit. As far as I know, everyone. Oh, on the at the at WSBTV website, Twitter account, they have a screenshot of the towing companies, which I would retweet now.
That's funny.
Has your car been towed by Fulton County? Here are the numbers to call to get it back.
I love it. I love it.
So you got to the movie news. Let's see. San Diego Comic-Con opened pre-registration for professionals. The only reason that's not that big a news, but I figured it would be worth pointing out. Also because I saw a lot of creators sort of applauding how easily the process was this time around.
They've modified it? Okay.
I guess so. They were like, it took a couple minutes and it was done and the site didn't crash. There was no hiccups. So good for them. And last but not least, more movie news.
Two more
bits of movie news. Stan Lee will not appear in Guardians of the Galaxy movie. Big whoop.
I'm disappointed.
Every time he makes an appearance in a movie, I'm like, it shocks me because I don't care about it. It's like, oh yeah. Oh, here's the random Stan Lee appearance.
I always enjoy it because, you know, it keeps me on my toes. All of a sudden you see him. It's like, oh, look, there he goes. And then that's it. You know, it's a fleeting moment. But it's. I still think it's cool. I get a big kick out of it. So let us know what you guys think out there in Comic Book Chronicles land. If you still enjoy seeing Stan Lee make these cameo appearances in movies, and if you're disappointed to hear that he's not going to be in Guardians of the Galaxy.
And don't forget that this weekend is the Super Bowl, where during the commercials you should see trailers for Transformers, Age of Extinction, another Captain America, the Winter Soldier trailer, and a lot more.
Definitely, definitely. Jazzed to see a new Cap trailer. Definitely jazzed. Speaking of Cap, before we move on into the review section, I'm going to semi-plug. It's been a while since we've held up our most recent acquisitions. But I wanted to show off the latest Captain America Legends figure. It's the Marvel Now Captain America. And it's pretty much the best Cap figure they've put out in a long time. It's very, very well done.
Very impressive. Expected would like that.
Yes. E, I hear you're back in the saddle. So take a look at this. This is the Marvel Now. This is the 6-inch figure. It's
that's a big figure.
Yeah, it's pretty well done.
How much that run you?
This is in Target. It's only $14.99. If you get it through other means, like Big Bad Toy Store, it's a little bit more. It's closer to $20. So if you can find this in a Target, you save a couple of bucks. But if not, just ordered straight from Big Bad Toy Story, you get yours. Don't miss out. This is a pretty good Cap figure.
Cool. My bro, Adam Black, says, going back to the Empire magazine Days of Future Past covers, he says, Havoc straight up looked like a dork for his Empire cover.
Oh, yes. That was pretty sad. We didn't really have a chance to go in depth into each image. But he was definitely one of the more disappointing ones.
They all look bad.
Oh.
See how easy that was?
I know, right? They all look bad. Oh. Anyway, what else do we have left on our news menu?
The TMNT character design.
Oh, yes. This was big. Didn't this just drop today?
Actually, it's kind of been rolling out all week. Like there was like some images of the toys,
right?
And then people were saying the images weren't clear enough, so I think some clearer ones came out.
Okay, but I saw what looked like, I guess, a banner that was posted,
mm-hmm.
something like that, and there was a decent amount of detail as to how the faces of the turtles look. And I'm not so sure I like it. I think it's a little too detailed. I think it's a little too... what's the word? Grimy? You know, I don't know if that's the right word. It's, I don't. That's probably not the right word at this point, but I wasn't so keen on the design.
I know our co-host, Dirt, definitely wasn't a fan.
Okay.
Myself, I mean, what did you want them to look like? They're not going to look like the stuffed, like the people. That weren't going to look like people, someone in a suit from the previous movies. And, you know, everything's more about be more realistic nowadays. So,
right.
Yes, if you're going to mutate a turtle, they're going to try to make it the mutated turtle look more turtle-ish now in the year 2014 than 1992 or whenever the first movies came out.
Right.
I mean, they look like how I would have pictured them.
No kidding.
They don't look like aliens, so that's a thumb up.
All right. Well, you know, we'll agree to disagree on that.
Yeah, I say I really like them. I just, they look like how I would have.
Oh, how you would imagine them.
Them making it look.
Gotcha. All right. So I think that's pretty much it for news this week. Unless, I think they confirmed, I think last Friday, right after we aired, about the Deathlok news on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And they started putting out more information on it. So, you know, Marvel and the show confirmed that last week that Deathlok is going to be appearing on Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as part of the it's his origin story that we're basically following right now.
Yes. I was trying to bring up the sound effects to do the spoiler.
Oh. Sorry about that. It's a week old.
Which one is that? The doorbell?
Yes.
There's
the bell.
Okay. Yeah, I just did it.
There you go. Sorry for spoiling, folks. My bad.
And some more spoilers, because Arrow this week was awesome. And at the end, so Bronze Tiger was the guest villain of the week. And at the end, he gets caught and taken to jail, and some interesting teases for future stuff. That's all I will say.
All right. Cool.
So with that, I think we can move on to the comic reviews for this week.
Yeah.
Just the two of us.
And we've got a lot of reading that we've done in common, so we'll definitely have a lot to talk about.
Yeah, except I have no DC to talk about.
Oh, I read this week's Aquaman and Damian, but I'll get to that.
Okay. DC always ends up taking my DC reading always takes place after the show, like on Friday, Saturday.
It's low priority sometimes. I know. Believe me, I sometimes read it just because I feel like we need to represent a little bit DC.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, yeah, I try to, you know, as you'll see, mostly everything I read was Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
I try to cover at least a couple different companies. At least that's the goal. And actually, I did not do that this week except for one book. Because I'm still like reading stuff from like 2 weeks ago, so I could talk about 2 weeks old stuff I read. I don't want to do that.
So all right.
What's going on this week?
So what do you want to lead with?
Let's go with Superior Spider-Man 26.
We always lead with Superior Spider-Man.
Do we? Should we need to? That's the comment that gets the highest hits on my website.
That is the book.
That is
the book right now. No doubt about that. So
it was a so-so issue.
Listen, you know what? They're in between right now. It's in the they're in the midst of, you know, the end game, right?
Yeah.
And it's kind of a weird spot for them to be, you know, in terms of like setup. There was you slot threw us a curveball because the cover looks, you know, the cover makes it look like there's going to be all out, you know, war between the Hobgoblin and the Green Goblin. And then Slot kind of throws a feint, he throws a curveball, making it look like it's not going to happen. And then pages later, guess what? Ding, ding, ding. They throw down for at least a little bit.
Yeah. And we had three different artists helping out. It would have been nice on the recap page if they had listed the first names for all three artists. I think I can pretty much figure out who they were, but like the Rodriguez guys, I couldn't remember his first name. I know he's done some Daredevil work.
Okay. It's Paolo, right?
Yeah. Well.
Oh, no, that's Paolo Rivera.
Yeah, you're talking about the guy that's going to do She-Hulk.
Hmm.
See, that's what I'm saying. I know who the guy is. I just can't think of his first name.
Right.
And Martin, I think, is Laura Martin, maybe? Who I think
Laura Martin is the colorist.
Yeah. Well, maybe I don't know who them.
Now you're making me see. You know what it is? Now I'm going. Now I'm flipping to the front and seeing what.
They didn't give you first names, so we don't know.
Just to make sure. All right. Here. Rodriguez, Martin, Lopez, Delgado. Okay. No, they have it in the front cover. Oh, no, they don't. You're right. Ramos, Rodriguez, and Martin. Oh, yeah, yeah. What the heck is that about? Look at that. Look at that. So what'd you think of the, you know, what's happening with the Avengers in this issue? How they're treating the Superior Spider-Man?
I said it in my review, which you can read on theclicknation.com. But...
And I apologize for not reading.
Oh, that's fine. But, like it seems like the Avengers should be doing more. It's like they know Spider-Man's acting weird. He's deleting security camera footage from the mansion, or not? They don't have a mansion anymore. The tower, Avengers Tower. And they're just kind of like babying Spider-Man. Like, we know something's wrong, but they're like passive aggressive about it.
Yeah.
My point of view.
I agree with that. But at the same time, I think they've always acted like this when they have to kind of come down hard on a member. If there's something going on, they sort, you know, this is generally how it plays out. They try to confront that member, and try to talk some sense into him. And it just, this is almost always how it plays out when stuff like this happens in the Avengers books. I felt like the Avengers were missing that one extra brain. You know, Stark is an engineering genius, but they needed like a real scientist on staff to mm-hmm. you know to really pin down what was going on. And you know, it felt like they were lacking. And these are the times when, you know, as X-Men fans, we know that this would have been solved if there was just a telepath around, right?
Yeah, the Avengers don't have. There's no telepath on the Avengers roster.
Well, then you know what it is? They're trying to keep that power special. That's why. Speaking of the lack of telepaths, I actually stopped. I made it through about half of Cataclysm, the Ultimates number 4. And I noticed that I guess there is a distinct lack of telepaths in the Ultimate Universe. And in the Marvel Universe, I guess the power is becoming more and more rare.
Well, I know in, at least in the X-Men, even in the X-Men side of things, some different crossovers, they were eliminating telepaths.
Right.
I might be thinking about teleporters.
Well, I think, I think telepathy has become a much more rare power for the writers and the creators at Marvel to grant. So, but like I said, you know, there was a time when there's a telepath on every X team. That's just how they coordinated themselves, right? So,
right.
You know, it's kind of sad. It's like, oh, this could have been solved a long time ago. What can you do?
But nope.
Nope.
So we had some more progress with Peter Parker.
Yes, slow, very slow. You know, I think they're trying to set up what Parker's status quo is going to be when he comes back, where he's not going to remember everything. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, I like how they explained that. You know, you knew it was going to be a twist.
Right. And you wonder how that's going to affect his intelligence. Is that going to affect, you know, affect how smart he is when he comes out of this? Is he not going to be like, you know, baby genius level, you know, not Reed Richards genius level, but baby genius level? You know, start to wonder, you know, I wonder what Slott's, you know, ultimate plan is with this.
Yeah, I couldn't tell, was this actually part one of Goblin Nation, or does it start next week? Because like I saw some preview pages for 27, and it said Goblin Nation Part 2, but nowhere in this book did it say like Goblin Nation Part 1.
Yeah, I don't think this is part of it, because if you recall last week's issue of Superior, was it Superior Foes or Superior Team Up?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Superior Team Up with Daredevil and Punisher. That is actually a pretty integral part, I think, of the Goblin Nation crossover.
Yeah, I made sure to point that out in my review. It even says it like on the front page of the Superior Spider-Man Team Up. This takes place before
or during. During, right. This issue here, right at the end of this issue, it says next, Goblin Nation. So this is the last issue before Goblin Nation starts.
Yep. Okay. So that should do it for Spirit Spider-Man review.
Yeah. I mean, if anything, kind of what we were, you know, I guess the crux of what we're talking about is it was kind of a soft ending to the current storyline and just the setup for Goblin Nation. And that's sort of where this issue falls. It's sort of like an in-between kind of, you know, okay issue. Nothing big gets revealed, but it's really more of a setup for the big final arc of Superior Spider-Man.
Okay. I'll let you pick the next book.
All right, let's go different, because I see here that we both read Furious number 1 from Dark Horse Comics.
Yes, I reviewed it also.
DeClickNation.com. I apologize for not catching up on the reviews that you're posting on the website. You know, I barely have enough time to get home to get on, you know, to start broadcasting. Let's see if I can pull this up, because I enjoyed this book. I like some of the twists in it. I thought the art was actually not bad also. I want to pull up the credits.
Victor Santos.
Yes.
I compared him to sort of a Michael Oeming and who's that guy? Oh, Chris Samnee.
Okay.
Kind of reminded me of both of those guys.
Sure. I definitely can see that. So what did you think of the twist origin? Spoiler alert.
The origin kind of confused me, because they kind of teased that that's where they were going at the beginning of the book. Then near the middle, unless I just read it wrong.
No, you read it exactly right. It was a curveball.
Oh, okay.
You read it exactly right. They definitely wanted you to think one thing, and then they tried to do a swerve and throw you off. Mm-hmm. And then they came back right to it right at the end.
Okay.
So you definitely read it the right way, and that's just what it was.
It sort of deals with the theme of like celebrity and trying to fight celebrity and the power, like the power that celebrities can wield. And if someone tries to change their image, but the public has one view of the person,
right? They have one perspective and they can't change it.
Yeah. And it's a limited series from Dark Horse Comics. So,
definitely. Was it 5 issues or 4 issues?
It's one of the two. I don't remember exactly which one.
All right. Well, there's an interesting twist, you know, in the issue where the hero is trying to go by the name The Beacon, but she's been labeled Furious.
I should have pointed that out in my review. I forgot to mention the Furious and the name issue.
And, you know, there's kind of a twist, you know, It's funny. Was this the book that was talking about power and responsibility?
Yes.
So, you know, it's always kind of nice to, you know, to see I guess it's a more common thing now that the mantra from Spider-Man has become more and more common knowledge, that, you know, people are starting to do more of a play on it. And this is just one play on what comes with great power.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I definitely thought that this was a good introduction, although I know that it's technically not an introduction to this character. I believe this character first appeared in an anthology book.
The Dark Horse Presents.
Yes. Yes. That would be the first appearance of this character, but this is really the first time we see the character in depth and in action, and also giving the middle finger at the end. But it's definitely worth a look. I would recommend this book for someone who's looking to try something new that has some twists in it. And I think this would be worth a second, you know, picking up the second issue. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to keep reading it.
Cool.
Definitely.
Cool. Okay. Sounds good.
I'm going to go to Guardians of the Galaxy 11 Point Now.
All right. I did read this. It's not on my list, but I did read this. So feel free to talk about it.
So this is with the Point Now, jumping on point for Guardians of the Galaxy readers, if you haven't been keeping up with the series. And it's also part two of the trial of Jean Grey.
Well, I was about to say, technically, it seems like it's spoiler alert. 1A. If you know what I mean.
Anyway. It takes place basically the same time as last week's all new X-Men issue.
That's my point.
Except from the Guardians' perspective.
Right.
You get Tony Stark thrown in there, just sort of acknowledging that, hey, I have been a member of the team for the past 10 issues, but I'm back on Earth now. I got Earth stuff things to do, so you won't be seeing me, at least for the immediate future.
Right. They have to explain where he is. You know, there has to be a transition between the Iron Man period of Guardians of the Galaxy and when they bring in new members of the team.
Yes, for later. After, I think that'll take place in March once the trial of Jean Grey is over and the Free Comic Book Day comes out.
Right.
And can I just say, for nothing else, this trial of Jean Grey will have the best art team on a crossover probably ever, with Sarah Pichelli and Stuart Immonen.
Well, it's debatable, but okay, I'll go with that for now. It's a pretty good art team. It does look, these books look pretty nice.
I mean, Sarah Pichelli's art was awesome. It actually has me like excited to read Guardians of the Galaxy now.
Nice. Well, I think, you know, I'm glad to see that she's back up and running at full speed.
Yes.
You know?
Because, I mean, it just seems like the whole series has kind of just been dragging its feet for so long, like looking for something to do.
Right.
So now it has, like, at least now it has purpose.
Right.
And hopefully, definitely, it'll probably definitely pick up once the movie comes out later this year, too.
Sure. So now, I just wanted to talk about the story real quick.
Go for it.
It's so soon after Infinity. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's so weird to see this Galactic Council kind of shift back into old character form. Like Gladiator. Like, what is that about? Like, wasn't he just, you know, saying, hey, Captain America, lead the way?
Well, right? He's not messing with the Avengers.
I know, but but they're still messing with Earthlings, and that's what bothers me. I'm like, what is wrong? Like, do they really not think that, you know, like, if you mess with the X-Men, you know, Wolverine's not going to call Cap and be like, hey, man, I think you need to, you know, call up Gladiator and tell him to chill.
You know, the X-Men weren't involved in Infinity, so.
That's true, but it still seems.
I mean, you could say the same. Character. You could actually say the same thing in All New Invaders, the Kree.
Right. Well, I think they set that up at the end of Infinity, like in the postlude at the end, where they said that the drums of war were starting to beat again on Hala. So that wasn't that surprising, but you know, and that's far more in character for the Kree. But you know, in terms of the Shi'ar, this is just.
I mean, they have a rocky relationship with the X-Men.
True. Especially Gladiator being more of a Imperial Guard, you know, and not, you know, there's no representation of the Starjammers here, so.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, but I guess there was a Starjammers book not too long ago with Havoc and them in space, right?
I believe so. But, you know, my point is, I guess it just seems so weird to hear, Gladiator talk like this, you know, so soon after kind of putting his life into Earthling's hands, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that's my two cents.
Okay. That's about the issue right there.
Yeah. Just, you know, it's the Guardians' point of view. There's a ding, ding, ding. There's some Skrulls lurking about.
Oh, yes.
We get to see Angela in action.
I was all for it.
Glad to see that there's a little bit of development here. So
actually, more for Gamora. Angela, I still have no cares for.
Right. I agree. I agree that she didn't have as much development as I may have made it sound, but we'll see how this goes. It's kind of nice that Bendis has both these books. He should be able to cross over effortlessly. You would think. All right. Is it my turn?
It's your turn.
My turn. What are we going to discuss now? What did you read? Thunderbolts Galactus Avengers Assembly Humanity Number 2. I actually read Inhumanity Number 2. It's not on my list if you wanted to talk about that. No?
Not really.
Alright, I'll move on to something else. How about Uncanny Avengers Number 16?
Yeah, we can get into that.
Let's do that one. Uncanny Avengers Number 16. Yet another chapter in the Apocalypse Twins story.
But that next issue is the end of Ragnarok now.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Big what happened, supposedly.
You get the feeling that some of these writers are really enjoying having Thor just like kind of beat the pulp out of certain people. Or at least try to.
He's a god. That's what he should be doing. Like Hercules and the Ultimates.
Right. But it seems like this has been happening relatively frequently over the last, couple of years, where they just have Thor in reserve. Like, all right, you go after the big guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Like Thor taking on Thanos.
Sure.
At the end of Infinity.
Exactly. My thoughts, that's exactly what I was thinking about. So, what else happened in this issue that we can talk about?
Thor versus Eamon.
Like I said, one of the Apocalypse Twins. I don't remember, one from the other.
The boy.
I do not remember one from the other.
And you had the Earth Brainiacs, Tony Stark, Hank Pym, Doombot. Even though they called it Dr. Doom, I'm assuming it was the Doombot.
Was it?
They said Dr. Doom, but why would Dr. Doom be working with Hank Pym and Tony Stark?
So you think it's the Doombot from Avengers AI?
Yeah, I think it's the Doombot from Avengers AI.
Okay, that makes a little bit more sense.
Trying to work on a solution to stop the Celestial from doing whatever it was going to do to Earth.
Yeah, they might have,
seeking vengeance.
Yeah, they might. What I was going to say is they might have screwed up the costume. I think that's what threw me off, because it does look like Doom himself, not the Doom.
I mean, it's Dr. Doom, and in the little word, the word balloon is, for their names.
Right.
Next to them, it said Dr. Doom. This is basically Thor being a badass.
Yeah.
I'm ready for Kang and his Chronal Corpse, as they're calling it.
Oh, the Colonel Core. I
Colonel
got you.
Core.
I got you. I got you. Well, you know, we'll see how this goes. I'll be glad to see how this shakes out. So next, so spoiler alert. I guess we'll find out the final fate of some of the fallen Uncanny Avengers next issue. It should be interesting.
And then we get Planet X.
Yeah. That's gonna be.
So the tease for next issue is supposedly all the Earth heroes or Earth's Avengers come to help. Because you know, at least all the mutants were supposed to be. What's the word? Rapture to the Ark.
Right.
Okay.
So yeah, I'm trying to pull it up just so, because I, you know, my memory is fading of the book because I read too much today. You know, all the stuff that I skimmed, you know, that I read quickly this afternoon and this evening on the way back, it's just stuck in my head. All right. So what's next?
So we've been on a big Marvel kick. You read any DC?
I did. Speaking of that, I read Aquaman 27.
What'd you think?
I had a good time reading this. It's a lot of action. There's definitely some political intrigue going on in Atlantis. You know, as always, there's usurpers to the throne of King Arthur Curry. The art by, I believe it's Pelletier, is, you know, spot, you know,
is it just him this time?
I will pull it up in a second and I will let you know. Let me see this. I have a Diaz. No, it's Paul Pelletier and Nitho Diaz. So they team up.
Same guy from last time.
They team up. There's definitely pages where it looks like Pelletier has more of an influence than others. I don't know how they split up the art duties. I don't know if they alternate or whatnot, but I still think that the book has a great consistent look with Pelletier basically providing the style.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's a lot of action in this. If you're into big monsters, you know, kaiju style monsters, this is a fun issue. This is definitely a showcase for showing how powerful Aquaman can be. You know, it's not just that he talks to fishes like Chris Rock says, but you know, it's definitely a showcase for Aquaman's talents and powers. You know, the book is moving along forward. This is definitely not an ending to this particular arc. It's just another issue in the continuing arc. So whether or not it's a good jumping on point, listen, if you like, you know, the sight of the idea and the sight of Aquaman taking on a big sea monster by himself, then, you know, this book is for you. It's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm going to keep it on you because I want to find out how Five Weapons was.
Well, you know what? I'll give you a unique perspective on Five Weapons number 6. I did not read Five Weapons issues 3, 4, and 5. So I do not know where this story went after they introduced the weapons classes, the weapons schools. So I have to give them credit for making this a good jumping on point, because my understanding is that this is now a continuing series. And now, you know, starting with this issue, it's a continuing series. And this is definitely a good jumping on point for readers who maybe tried the first issue of the series or may have heard good things about it. This is definitely a good jumping on point for new readers. They fill in a lot of the gaps very quickly. They update some of the characters that may have been one way in the first 5 issues, and now they're a certain way and they're treating them a certain way. So it's definitely a good jumping on point. I enjoyed it. I thought it was, like I said, it's a great jumping on point for new readers. It definitely starts a new story arc and a new character arc for the main character, who is, you know, I don't want to spoil too much because I think it definitely provides a nice twist to the character and where the story is going to be leading. But I would definitely recommend this to you. Tim, did you read the first five?
Yeah, I've read the first five. I just didn't have time to get to this one.
Jump into this one head first, because I think you'll be able to pick this up far quicker than I. But like I said, it was a pretty new reader friendly issue.
Okay, that's good. And I didn't know the writer Jimmy Robinson is black.
I had no clue.
Learned that this week.
I had no clue.
Yep.
All right. So what else? What else?
I guess I can pick one.
Go for it. And you may, whatever you call out, I may have actually read it because I haven't updated my list.
Thunderbolts 21.
I skimmed it, so you're going to have to bear a lot of this one. Go ahead.
This book is fun.
It is.
So shout outs to Charles Soule.
Ah, the man who gets all the work done.
I'm currently listening to the Let's Talk Comics podcast from Jim Viscardi. He's actually interviewing. He had an interview with Charles Soule that he posted at the beginning of this week.
Oh, he beat us to it.
And it's a great. He gives great insight on how he broke into the business, how you talk to editors and sort of get. You know, basically don't act like a normal person. He gives a lot of tips for aspiring comic book creators.
Nice.
And I'm out halfway through, so I'll listen to the rest of it this weekend.
I'll make sure to listen to that. That's interesting. And that'll give me what to ask him when I finally work up the guts to compose an email to him, right? Try to get him to come on our show.
But yeah, so the Thunderbolts, they have one of their members, Mercy, she gets off on death and killing people, and the Thunderbolts finally have realized, you know, she's a problem, we need to get, you know, do something, take her out, but how do you take out this, like, force of nature who is, like, addicted to death, and the Red Leader, Samuel Stearns, comes up with the idea, if she's obsessed with death, why don't we send her to hell where she'll have all the deaths she can muster. So, but first they need
to figure out. It only makes sense.
Yeah. It was so simple that, you know, why did anyone else think of this? But then they have to figure out how can they send her to hell? They need to figure, you know, they need to find like a Doctor Strange type person. And from, if you continually nuts will remember that there was a crossover a couple years ago between Venom, Red Hulk, the female Ghost Rider at the time, and Venom. Did I say Venom already?
I believe so. It's all right.
Venom, Red Hulk. Oh, X-23 and the female Ghost Rider. They were trying to redo the whole, like, was it the Fantastic Four when it was Grey Hulk, Spider-Man, Ghost Rider, and Wolverine?
Yeah.
So they redid it, except with the different variations of the characters. So they knew, even though that story took place with the female Ghost Rider, I guess Red Hulk and Venom still know Johnny Blaze, so they recruit him to help them with this mission, and he warns them that, you know, he's not that much of a spellcaster, but, you know, he'll give it his best try. And the Punisher and Elektra elect to stay behind because, as Punisher says, he doesn't do magic. Kind of my guy. My kind of guy. But he doesn't do magic, so Ghost Rider casts his spell to send, and Mercy's not around during all this, but he casts a spell to send her to hell. But what ends up happening is the team gets sent to hell.
Love it.
And it's funny because, like, the final panel from last issue is like, it's like they're all standing in a circle, and Ghost Rider casts a spell, and then the next panel, everyone's in the same positions they were in, except they're standing in hell.
Yeah.
And all Ghost Rider just lets out a oops.
Yeah.
So this issue That's picks nice. Up with them trying to, they had to find like a avenue back to the land of the living. And they run across Mephisto, who, spoiler, isn't the ruler of hell anymore. There's a new boss in town.
And readers of a certain Peter David book that's relaunched will know who it is.
Yep. So Samuel Stern, the genius leader he is, again makes a deal with the devil, even though Ghost Rider tells him he's not the kind of person you want to be making deals with. Mm-hmm. But they negotiate a contract that they'll take out the new boss man of hell and in return, Mephisto will help them get back to Earth, or whatever you want to call it, the land of the living.
Right.
So they drop a nice contract and all that good stuff. And while the contract's being written, Ghost Rider and Venom have a nice conversation about how Ghost Rider tried to go into the movie business, but yes. The movie sucked.
A little bit of meta-textual conversation there.
Yeah.
That's fun.
So, yeah, that's Thunderbolts. So, get on this book, people. The book is fun. Who knows how long Charles Soule will actually be writing this book.
It does seem like he's enjoying it, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You could tell he's having fun with it, so hopefully he'll stay on a while. But, I mean, as his schedule continues where it is, I could see that being one of the books he has to, you know,
let go.
Leave. Yeah, let go.
Yeah, he won't be asked to leave. He's just going to have to let it go.
But gotcha. That's Thunderbolts 21.
All right, let's see. Did you happen to, I'm sorry to stay on Marvel, but I actually wanted to just do a quick mention of a book that I actually, you know, got a real kick out of reading, was Thor, God of Thunder, number 18.
Okay.
I don't know. I guess you didn't read it yet this week.
Yeah,
I don't know if you have been reading it.
Usually Thor is one of the books I'll usually make time to read, but this had a fill-in artist, right?
Yeah, but the art is still pretty well done. The story is, I hope this doesn't turn you off from it. But it's kind of a one-and-done type thing.
Yeah, that's another thing. I saw a fill-in artist and kind of like a fill-in issue, so I was like, yeah, I'll get to it later.
It's so well done, though. It's so well written. Aaron has such a great voice in the Thor books, as opposed to some of the other stuff that I've been reading of his at Marvel. I still, you know, I think Thor is the one book that he seems to get, that he seems to have the most fun writing. And I think you will enjoy it. You will actually enjoy going panel to panel and reading some of the dialogue that he's written in this. It's, you know, you would never expect, you know, spoiler alert. Where is it? Spoiler alert. You would never expect to hear some of this dialogue in a Thor book, especially coming from the mouths of a dragon. Dragon!
Dragon!
So, you know what I'm saying? So I had a lot of fun reading that. And it's close to being my click of the week. I'm still debating it right now internally, but that one was close.
Okay.
All right, what do you got?
We can do like a few more pieces.
Did you read Turtles?
No, that's not one I wish I got to. Go ahead and give us a quick review of that one, and then we can do Uncanny X Force, and we can call it.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay. So, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles number 30. We're dealing with the aftermath of City Fall? Mm-hmm. Is that what the crossover was called?
Yeah, City Fall.
Because I haven't read a lot of City Fall. I read the first few issues, and I didn't really read what's been going on. This is, without spoiling too much, this is the Turtles and Master Splinter and April all sort of recuperating and licking their wounds and recovering from the aftermath of City Fall. And there's a lot of dialoguing, you know, there's a lot of dialogue about, healing and coming together. And there's an internal monologue That's, you know, we get the narration in the book, in the story, from Michelangelo, of all the characters. So it's kind of unique in that regard. I thought the art was actually, you know, captured the mood pretty well. Speaking of, we were referencing the first Turtles movie earlier in the show, and there's elements from the first Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie that are here in the story that you'll recognize if you watch the first movie, and you'll say, oh, okay, they're doing this again. So it's kind of cool that way. It's a kind of a look back and I don't want to say an homage, but definitely a revisiting of a certain locale in the story, you know, and how they use it to kind of reestablish themselves as a group.
Okay. You
know? So it was an interesting read. I don't know if it's so reader friendly for someone like me who hasn't read this particular title in what, 5 months, 4 months. So, you know, it took a little bit of figuring out. I may have to go back and dig into the CBC archives for some of the previous issues.
Definitely recommend doing that.
All right. I'll do that.
Okay. And the last book we'll review is the final issue of Uncanny X-Force number 17.
Okay.
Which is also the final part of the Vendetta crossover with Cable and X-Force, as both books are being canceled and being replaced by the singular X-Force.
I don't know what to click on this. Okay. Both books being canceled, but they're both being unified. A streamlined X-Force.
Yeah.
I kind of like that.
The whole crossover was eh.
Yeah, it was a little bit 90s, wasn't it? Like a 90s. Like
very 90s. A lot of talking, and that's a lot of talking by the villain, put it that way.
Yeah.
Trying to be the nice, the puppet. I don't see Strife as being this big puppet master. And what? There was no like resolution. Like Strife still escaped at the end, right?
He gets away. Yes.
Yeah, he gets away.
He does get away.
And Cable and Hope and Bishop. Cable, Hope, and Bishop learn to
coexist. Learn to tolerate. Yeah.
Yeah. Tolerate's a good word.
They tolerate each other's presence somewhat, even though they mumble under their breaths all the time. You know, it was an interesting book to read. You know, you see where Bishop, I guess, is sort of being redeemed, and I'm kind of glad for that. I guess they're trying to set up his character for the movie. You know,
well,
they don't want him to be a complete psychopath.
I haven't really enjoyed Uncanny X-Force that much, but the one thing I'll give Sam Humphries credit for is his redemption of Bishop, because I never liked how he was just all of a sudden got turned into this psychotic,
right,
vengeful demon, basically.
Right. Spoiler alert. Did you happen to notice the pattern of the psychic flames around Hope and Bishop?
Well, definitely around Hope, I noticed it.
Right, after she dissipates the Strife force, the Strife energies,
mm-hmm,
there's definitely a telltale pattern, we'll put it that way.
Yeah, there's always going to be that...
that hint.
Yeah, why did the Shi'ar get involved when the Phoenix Force was coming back during Avengers versus X-Men? Don't try to answer that.
My guess is that they probably weren't in the position to. I don't think that they were stable enough to. I want to go back to Avengers versus X-Men, and see what the status of the cosmic side of Marvel was, and what the Shi'ar were up to. Because if you recall, you know, they're not having the best time of it since Gladiator had to become Majestor. And I think they were subservient to, were they subservient to the Kree? Had they been taken over by the Kree?
Who's that?
The Shi'ar.
Nah, I don't think so.
Now you're going to make me want to look. I'm going to do some research because I think that at some point the Shi'ar were no longer like an independent empire. They were subservient to another empire.
Mm-hmm.
Let us know, CBC listeners and viewers. Tweet at us if anyone remembers this. If this was around that time of Avengers versus X-Men. Because, like I said, I don't think the Shi'ar were in the position to, you know, enforce any of their feelings towards Jean Grey. You know, the Phoenix Force back then.
Wonder, if that was the case, when did they get their freedom?
Probably in the midst of Infinity. Well, right before Infinity. Well, come to think of it, I think the Shi'ar might have been weak. They may have been free when Avengers vs. X-Men came down, but that seems like it was so recent. But in Marvel time, that might have been a long time ago. You know what I mean? I'm trying to think if there's anything else to mention about this issue.
Both teams are kind of like, yeah, we did a good job today. Mm-hmm. No one got killed.
What do we do with this many members of X-Force?
Everyone go about your business until the ones that are chosen to be on the new X-Force squad launch in our new book in a couple months.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's funny. So they're I guess, going to reform this X-Force group. Spoiler alert. There is three characters I recognize in the cover for X-Force number one that's going to be launched next month.
Mm-hmm.
There's a fourth one in the back I'm not 100% sure.
A fourth member?
Yeah.
It's on the
one with the blades. Is that supposed to be Marrow?
Yes, Marrow, Phantomettes, Cable.
And Psylocke.
And Psylocke, at least announced right now.
Right. That's Marrow? Wow.
Yeah. Somehow, even though she got depowered during M-Day, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
But, oh, she's got powers now, so they'll explain that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I like the artist, Rocky Kim, or whatever his name is.
Mm-hmm.
I like his art. He also did the art for the Captain America, the Winter Soldier Infinite comic that's available now.
Did you read that?
Not yet.
Okay, I won't talk about it. We should probably talk about it.
You can give your quick thoughts.
No, it was quick and dirty. No, it was quick and clean, quick and dirty, however you want to look at it. They definitely introduced one of the characters that is found in the Marvel Universe. They introduced this particular character. We'll just say his last name is Lumlo. Yeah, they introduced him as a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent, though.
So, interesting.
Right. Finally, before we wrap and do our clicks of the week, I wanted to again shout out Alyssa Milano. What's up, Alyssa Milano? I finished reading Hacktivist number one. I did like it. I thought it was well done. I thought the art was definitely a highlight. I'm looking forward to issue number two. So holler back.
Yeah, I need to start like bothering her on Twitter. Maybe come on.
I'm definitely going to tweet later that that she should tune into Combo Chronicles episode 55 for additional shout outs to Hacktivist number one. There you go.
All right, click of the week.
This is gonna be tough.
Before that, Adam Black's got another tweet. He said, Five Weapons was one of my favorite comics from last year, Encyclopedia Brown in an Assassin School.
That's a good way of looking at it. So I didn't finish reading the five issues, though, so I'm going to go back and check that.
Hopefully he read number six, so that will be his click of the week. I'm trying to go down and decide what would be mine for this week. It's going to be a toss-up between the Guardians of the Galaxy 11 Point Now and Thunderbolts.
Wow, you really like that Guardians of the Galaxy issue.
And it's funny because it's like the issue was no different from the others, but like, I don't know, the art, and I guess I like it tying into the X-Men stuff because, of course, mm-hmm. I like X-Men. And I love all new X-Men is one of my favorite Marvel books right now.
Right.
Yeah, I'll go Thunderbolts, though.
Okay.
The writing was funny and witty, and the art by Carlos Barbieri.
Mm-hmm.
His art and whoever did the colors, it was top-notch.
It looks solid to me. I didn't finish reading it, but it definitely looks solid.
Yeah, it's got me. I mean, the whole Thunderbolts book is a total 360 or 180, whatever the phrase is.
180.
Yeah.
Turn from around.
When it first launched to now.
Mm-hmm.
Because I read the first couple issues when it launched, and I was like, man, forget this.
Mm.
And now it's just like, I look forward to it every week.
Sure, because Soul is, I think, has changed the tone of the series, right?
Yeah, he came up with the whole idea of they do a mission for Red Hulk. They do one of his missions, and then the team does a mission for one of the members. They all pull their name out the hat, and whoever's name gets pulled out the hat, the other team members have to help them with a mission that they can't do on their own.
Right.
So it gives the team a meaning to be together.
Right.
A purpose to be together.
Right, right. It's like, come on, let it be mine, right? Let it be my mission.
Yeah.
That's funny. All right. My click of the week. The most fun I had reading this week, even though it was, you know, kind of a weird one-and-done issue, was Thor, God of Thunder, number 18.
Oh, wow. So I got to read that.
As I said before, it was just a fun, weird, wacky issue. And it was, you know, there's hints of melancholy and tinges of sadness. It was all, you know, it was all there, you know. So when you read it, you'll be like, oh, wow. You know, I can't believe that happened. But then, you know, when you get to the end, you're like, oh, okay. You know, I'm trying to recount how I felt reading it. And it's one of the more difficult things to do because of the ups and downs that the story takes you on. You know, spoiler alert, ding, ding, ding. I think you knew this maybe from the solicits or from just flipping through it. It's a story about young Thor. So it's definitely more of a, you know.
Oh, I didn't even know that much.
Okay, well, it has a coming of age type twist to it, bent to it. So, you know, I think this has to be my kick of the week because I just had so much fun reading it. And it's not for lack of reading books this week because I definitely read, at least my fair share of books this week. And this one still sticks out in my mind as my favorite read of the week. So click of the week for me, Thor, God of Thunder, number 18. You got a non-superhero book? I mean, I guess I would throw in five Weapons, number 6.
Yeah, I haven't read it, so I can't throw it in. The only non-superhero stuff, I mean, even Furious is non-superhero, so.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Can't really count that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I guess, yeah, my non-superhero, because it's been a while since I did a non-superhero book because I haven't been reading, I've been able to read that much in terms of like variety. So I guess I would make Five Weapons, number 6, my non-superhero pick of the week, click of the week.
Okay.
Cool.
So that should do it for this week's episode of the Comic Book Chronicles. I want to thank those who tuned in live tonight. Shout out to D_Adam_Black on Twitter. Our co-hosts who aren't here, at Roddy Cat and at Comic, what's it? At News Nerds Need.
Yes, News Nerds Need.
And I'm at TimDOGG98 and at DClickNation. Agent 70 is at Agent_70. Dirt is at PCN_dirt and popculturenetwork.com and, of course, theclicknation.com. Remember to give us those nice iTunes reviews and Stitcher reviews.
Please.
5-star reviews.
That's right.
And we'll be back next week to give you more comic book news and reviews. We are the Click Nation, and we are signing off.
Peace.